Unemployment levels are low in Wisconsin and around the country, and in some cases, that's made it hard for employers to fill jobs.
Our next guest says one possible solution is to rethink the way we cover disability insurance through the Social Security system.
Colin Roth is the Director of Public Engagement and Policy Analyst at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He wrote the report, Untapped Potential, Federal Disability Programs and Wisconsin's Labor Shortage. He's joining us from our Milwaukee studio. Colin, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, good afternoon.
First, we touched on this a little bit in the intro, but can you describe to us a little bit more about the problem with the workforce right now?
Sure. Wisconsin's central economic challenge is a labor shortage. I mean, this is pretty well documented. About three quarters of business leaders said in a survey this summer that they had trouble finding workers. Unemployment is below 3% for, I think, the ninth straight month. If you look at the Job Center of Wisconsin, kind of the hub that posts all the open jobs in the state of Wisconsin, it's usually between 90 and 100,000. And this is a trend that's pretty consistent throughout the nation, that we have very low unemployment levels, and business leaders and businesses are saying, hey, how can we get more workers into the workforce and get them trained and ready to go?
So since we have basically more jobs to fill but no one to work them, what makes you believe that reforming a government benefits program would be a possible solution?
Sure. So I'm for an all-of-the-above approach, and I think this will involve education and some of the things that we're already doing in an approach to workforce development, something that I think has been a lot of a bipartisan issue. But I'd like to raise the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, partly because if you look at some of the census data and other data about population, you'll see no observable increase in self-reported measures of health or disability since the 1980s. And yet, nearly 13 million Americans are enrolled in two federal disability programs, or both of them, Social Security Disability Insurance or Supplemental Security Income. It's about 224,000 working-age Wisconsinites in both programs, 180,000, the bulk of which are in the disability insurance program. And this is something that's seen kind of staggering growth among disabled workers, which is kind of the overwhelming majority of those in the programs. Between 1990 and 2014, we went from 3 to 9 million enrolled in those programs. Some of the growth is estimated to be accounted for by demographic changes, so more women in the workforce and aging population. But the other half, economists with the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank estimated that it was probably due to the value of these benefits to low-wage workers and some subjective eligibility criteria.
Now, you talked a little bit about supplemental security income, or many people know it as SSI, and Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI. Now, SSDI was created in 1956, so it's been around for a while. You talked about some of the changes over the years, but what are some of the others that many people don't know about?
Right. So in the 1980s in particular, there was a reform that passed through Congress that kind of opened up some of the eligibility for particularly the disability insurance program. So it kind of opened it up to a lot of made it more subjective, I would say. There was a new vocational grid that took into account more than just strict medical evidence. So if you didn't qualify on strict medical evidence alone of a disability, it would take into account your age, your work experience, your language skills, your education, and then it would kind of make a determination. And we've seen a lot of growth in that qualification for disability insurance. That's now over about half of those who enroll are brought into the program not on strict medical evidence alone. So I think that's enough to make us wonder, are there solutions for people who might fall into these gray areas? I'm not here to say that this program should go away. I think it's vital. I'm not here to say that everyone on the program is a problem. I don't think that at all. I think that there's kind of a binary problem where people are either on the program and never work again, or they are not on the program and kind of thrust back out into the workforce. And I think we have to start thinking about solutions for those who fall into those gray areas, those who have perhaps a work limitation but could be rehabilitated or could be retrained. And I think some of the architecture of the program doesn't allow for that.
Colin Roth is the Director of Public Engagement and Policy Analyst at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He wrote the report, Untapped Potential, Federal Disability Programs and Wisconsin's Labor Shortage. Colin, let's take a call. Let's hear from Kevin in Crandon. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to Central Time. Okay. Well, we're not going to talk to Kevin, so we'll get back to the question that I had about Social Security income or SSI, or Social Security Disability Insurance. What are some of the reasons we've seen growth, not only that we've seen growth in the SSDI enrollment, but more importantly, what benefits do the programs offer the applicant and some of the reasons a person would look to apply?
Sure. So I wouldn't say this is a lucrative program. So the value of a benefits for the Social Security Disability Insurance average about $1,400 a month or about $14,000 a year. After 2 years, you're enrolled in Medicare, which is a huge benefit of the program, but it's not lucrative. But this has become something of a lifeline to a lot of low-wage workers, particularly in rural areas. The Washington Post did a big analysis of where the growth of Social Security disability insurance has occurred, and it's largely in rural areas, areas that have seen wage stagnation, that have seen jobs move away. And so this has increasingly become something of an older, almost a long-term long-term unemployment program for a lot of rural Americans.
Okay. It looks like Kevin is ready. We're ready, and we have him online, so we'll take that call. Kevin from Crandon. Kevin, hello. Welcome to Central Time. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Kevin, do you have a question for Colin?
Yeah, well, I don't really have a question. I have more of a statement. I'm one of the horrible people on SSI, which took me, which was an over, you don't just get disability. It was over a more than 3 year period that I went through just from the time I applied to the time I was approved. And it's not a very, as the man said, it's not lucrative. I only get, he said average is $1,400. I get $833. And plus I get Medicaid. So it's not a lucrative thing. And I know what this guy's driving at. He wants to get, you know, he wants to get these theoretical jobs that we're supposed to get. I'm 54 years old. What are you going to do with me, people like me? You want to tell me that? All I ever did in my life was hardcore physical labor. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Kevin. Colin, what about Kevin's question? I mean, how difficult is it to get on SSDI or SSI?
Well, it's not easy, and I'll be the first to say I'm not here to adjudicate any individual's disability. I'm talking kind of about the broader elements of the program and some of the long-term trends. It's not easy. It can take 4 to 33 months, so multiple years. And I think that's actually one of the big problems with the program is that there's this huge backlog, that it can take so long to determine whether someone gets disability or whether they're not. And while they're applying, they can't work, and they can't be looking for work. So if you're one of the unfortunate people who thinks, hey, you might be in the gray area. Maybe you think, I might be able to get disability insurance, and you go through this process, and you go through the appeals process, and you don't get it. You've been out of the workforce now for maybe as many as 3 years. And so some of your skills, your resume, the things that you do might atrophy in that period. So I think what we're calling for is we'd like to see a lot of this program return to the states. We think there's a lot of bottom-up solutions that occur. And we want to figure out ways, especially that we could do early intervention. I'm not confident or all that interested in trying to kick people off disability insurance, but I'd like to see if we can figure out ways in which we can keep workers attached to the labor force. Maybe somebody has a condition. Maybe somebody is thinking about applying for disability insurance. Are there ways that we can work with employers? Are there ways that we could work with our state departments of workforce development and health services and disability advocates and education professionals? Are there ways that we could create temporary or partial disability insurance so that we could say, hey, you know, you may have a condition that results in work limitations right now, but we think you can get rehabilitated and retrained for something in 2 years so that this isn't a permanent thing. There's way too much human capital, way too much that's being kind of sidelined when we could create incentives for at least the people who might fall into that gray area who have a work limitation but who could probably figure out a way to stay in the labor force. I think that's where we need to look for solutions.
So what would it take to make some of these changes, and how do you think it would affect people like our listeners?
Well, unfortunately, it'd have to go through Congress, and we all know how that works. So I guess I'm not entirely optimistic that there's a big comprehensive reform out there. I'd like to see state solutions, which would require Congress taking some action to give states more leeway to innovate and experiment with the program. my report and has endorsed kind of some of those solutions, what they could look like. I'd like to see more case management, like I said, early intervention. I'd like to see employers get some skin in the game. Perhaps there could be an experience-rated payroll tax that might say, hey, if you have a lot of people going on disability insurance, maybe that business's payroll taxes go up. But if they're accommodating people or keeping people off the disability insurance, maybe their payroll taxes go down. I think there are some interesting ways to work with incentives there.
Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Colin Roth is the Director of Public Engagement and Policy Analyst at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He joined us to talk about why he believes the solution to Wisconsin and the workforce is changing the laws.